The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hi there, welcome to the podcast, guys. Clearing my throat there. It's, what day? I don't even know what day it is today.
Wednesday,
show 8. I thought it dipped a bit yesterday. Mm. I thought there was a little dippage.
Well, we had some technicals, didn't we?
Well, there was that. I thought it dipped before then. I didn't think it was a particularly strong show.
I liked it. Well, I especially liked the prepper guy. Well, I thought you asked all the important questions and some extra ones.
Well, yeah, I don't really have a lot to say. I'm not feeling the vibe today, so we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Okay.
So here's the podcast.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lift.
499-1000 is the telephone number. Nigel's on the line. Good evening, Nigel.
Oh, good evening, Ian. All right, how are you?
Blimey, they're all coming out of the woodwork. They're all coming out of the woodwork. Flipping heck.
Bristol next, won't it?
This is like a walk... For those about to rock, we salute you. This is like a walk down the history of phone-in radio callers.
The Talk Sport golden years.
They're golden... there are a lot... I recognise your voice from from talking to Mike Mendoza.
The Mike Graham show as well.
Yes, yeah.
The Mike Mendoza show.
Okay. If you don't say his name three times, because if you do, we all get sucked up his bumhole. Yeah. Now, who's that in the background? Your mum?
Pardon?
Who's that in the background? Mum?
Yeah, she's just been coming out of the toilet, so I've got... she's gone in the front room.
Is she all right?
She's okay, yeah. She's a bit worried about me going on the radio.
Why?
Well, because the neighbours, you know, they don't like me talking too loud late at night.
Hang on a minute, Nigel! The neighbours? Are you living in one of those Japanese houses with the paper?
I've got neighbours above me. I have to be pretty quiet in the evening.
Oh,
you know?
But you're talking on the telephone. You're allowed to talk on the telephone.
Yes, I'm okay if I don't sing too much. I think that's the trouble. If I sing, it's too noisy.
Well, you know, I'm going to have to ask you to sing.
I was going to say...
Where have you been for the last 10 years? Because
I've been on different other radio stations as well.
Yeah.
The BBC Radio Kent I was on at Christmas time.
I'm sorry to hear that.
but I was with James Well that was on.
Sorry to hear that as well. It's sad news about James. We'll do a special show memory of him at some point. But
yeah, they videoed me singing in the studio, which
I
was
bet
good.
They
put on Facebook on the BBC Radio Kent Facebook.
I bet they did. Nigel,
can I say that I've got, on the Talk Sport the Golden Years, I've got most of my videos from the Mike Mendoza show.
You said it three times. We're all about to be sucked up there.
Sorry, very much. Sorry about that.
We're going to be sucked up.
Would you like a quick song to finish? Hello.
I feel, Nigel, that I have played a very, very, very minimum role in this conversation.
Hmm. Oh, well, carry on.
Well, no, I'm quite happy for you to steamroll all over me. Oh, wait, 4449-1000.
I didn't think I was going to get on the programme. I'm so pleased to be back on the radio again.
Why would we not let you on?
Well, there are various people that are a bit jealous sometimes, aren't there?
Who? Who's jealous of you? Tell us. Give me their names.
Sometimes there's so many callers, it is hard to get on the show.
Not on the new talk radio. There's not that problem. No one has encountered that problem yet, let's just say.
I've just sent a message to Miley Cyrus to have a listen about 5 minutes ago, so hopefully she's listening to the show.
Hang on one second. How did you send a message to Miley Cyrus?
I did on Facebook about 5 minutes ago, and then I rang your show, and now I've got straight on yet. So well, hopefully she had a listen.
Miley Cyrus, how well do you know her?
Well, quite well. I do Facebook with her for the last year, I suppose, really.
Okie dokie.
Facebook.
And she replies to you, does she?
Her friends do, actually. Somebody called Mike Starr, who's a record producer that works with Miley Cyrus.
Oh, blimey.
He sends private messages to me at 3 o'clock in the morning, because it's daytime there in America. And he helps me with my career a bit, so with different things. My videos are on his Facebook page as well.
And how's the career going?
I'm mostly famous from Facebook. Yeah, I haven't got any gigs as a drummer. I was a drummer for 40 years. I've got no gigs at the moment. in actual fact, I did work for a shop, JB's Music Shop in rural Tunbridge Wells.
Yep.
I promoted a video for them in the shop. I played the drums and they filmed me and then they put it onto Facebook. So it promoted the the shop, and I got paid for that.
Are you a good drummer? Because everyone thinks that drumming is easy. Can you do? Because I can do the boom boom bam bam boom boom bam bam. But can you do your feet at the same time?
Of course, yeah. Since I was 11.
Yeah, because that's the trick, is doing the feet as well as the hands. The hands are easy. It's the feet
as
well.
I'd like to drum for you tonight, but of course it's too late to do it this time of night, isn't it?
Yeah. Not for me it isn't, but I imagine your neighbours upstairs. You start getting your Ludwigs out, and you're going to be in serious trouble.
But hopefully people can have a butcher's at me videos on Facebook or Twitter. I'm on Twitter as well.
Oh, what are you on Twitter?
It's Nigel Reader Twitter. Nigel Reader 3, sorry, yeah, Nigel Reader 3. It goes, take
Nigel
straight
Reader?
R E A D E R.
Yeah.
Nigel Reader 3, Twitter.
Number. There we go. Here we go. You've got
it's all on there.
Hey, look at that. That's a nice jumper.
It is. Is it me drumming?
No, it's you. It's you with a microphone, with a posh microphone.
Oh, probably singing a Miley Cyrus song.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, well, yeah. I don't think. Oh, I could name one Miley Cyrus song, Wrecking Ball.
Oh, yep. Yeah, I usually sing ballads, and I like the Whitney Houston songs, like The Greatest Love of All. They're really, they suit my voice better.
Isn't it sad about Whitney?
It was terrible, yes. Yeah. Well, Michael Jackson, I was a big fan of as well.
Well,
weren't we all, you know?
Well, no.
Thriller, and no.
Yeah, thriller. All right, well, what are you going to sing for us tonight then, Nige?
Should I do an impression? Would you like an impression instead? Oh, no, I can do a song if you like.
You can do both. I know we're busy on the phones, but I reckon we can fit you in.
Mm. What should I sing now? I'll do Fly Me to the Moon, if okay. Is
beautiful.
Okay?
Beautiful.
I'll just stand. I'm sitting down.
Stand up. You can't sing sitting down.
Fly me to the moon and let me play amongst the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter or Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Ooh, fill cheeky. My heart with song. Let me sing forevermore, because you are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Scooby dooby 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 doo doo. Yeah. Hey, Benjamin.
Hello.
Hello, Daniel.
Can we play the iPod roulette game, please?
Oh, have you got your iPod there?
Well, it's not an iPod. It's by Spotify.
Spotify. Hang on a second. Spotify is infinite, isn't it?
It's my favourite tracks on Spotify.
Okay. How many tracks have you got favourited?
Let me have a look.
By the way,
1,000.
Okay.
What?
I was just to say, if anyone wants to be a judge for this round of iPod roulette, 0844 499 1000 is the phone number to call. Otherwise, it'll be me that's judging, and that would... some people might say that was
a
fix.
No, you're not judging.
Sorry?
I don't want to lose out. If you're going to judge, you're going to...
Mate,
you know.
I'm a fair judge.
No, you're not.
How do you know, Daniel?
Because I listen to the programme.
Yeah, I'm a fair judge.
Of what?
I'm not going to cheat.
You cheat at everything.
What are you talking about? Where have you got this from?
I'm talking about the programme and we're getting higher and higher.
I'm not a cheat.
You are a cheat.
Mate, one thing, right? I fight for the underdog. I like to keep things fair, okay? What was that?
It was sounds.
He's right. Fair play. That was sounds. 0844 499 1000. No one.
Stopped. Hey, yeah, I'm on the phone at the minute.
Yeah, well, you might not be for much longer if you keep this cheek up, lad. Here we go. Answer that. We got a judge coming through. It's only boring, Kyle, but never mind.
Hey, he sounds impartial. Let's go.
He's got an accent like you.
What's my accent? I ain't got an accent.
Oh, shh. Are you a real person?
I think so.
Okay.
That's quite... Okay. Am I a real person?
Yeah, we go. Are you?
Where's the judge?
Kyle?
Hello, Ian. You okay?
I'm good. You're going to be the judge tonight, yeah? Kyle? Kyle?
Kyle?
Kyle?
Kyle?
I guess Kyle's not going to be the judge tonight. Try the other caller. Maybe they want to do it. What happened there? Right, so, Daniel, you know the rules, yeah?
Yes.
It's going to be a long night tonight, guys. I've got a feeling.
What?
It's going to be a long night tonight.
Guys, I've got a feeling.
Yeah. What, have you been smoking something?
I want to play the game.
I'm waiting for a judge. Do you know the rules of the game?
I know the rules of the game. Let's play the game.
Right, we've got
I've got some great tracks lined up waiting here.
Yeah.
And you're stalling, man.
Right, Carl, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Right. Why does everyone... Did they legalise weed while I've been in the building? Because everyone sounds stoned, man. Right, OK, you know the rules. There are three rounds. You get one pass. You put your music player on to shuffle. You're cheating a little bit having Spotify. I'll still destroy you. You have to... whoever has the best track wins, right? Daniel, you go first.
OK, so we're just pressing play and...
Wait, so it's got to be on random, yeah?
Random. Hang on a minute. Random. And we just press play.
Well, I don't know how Spotify works. Give me the
stress. I just pressed play. Here we go.
Oh, is it on random?
Hang on, what?
Is it on random?
Yes, it's on random.
Beautiful, okay.
Isn't that the game we're playing? We play it on random.
Yeah, but I was just trying to get you to... Oh, all right, do it. Go on.
Can you hear it?
No, what is it?
Hang on.
Oh, for crying out.
There we go.
Oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. This is one of his favourites on Spotify. What is that song, Daniel? It sounds awful. What is that song, Daniel? It sounds awful.
It is Totally Men.
Totally Men?
Totally Men.
Toothbury Men?
Totally Men.
Two Sweet Men?
No, with an S. It's got an accent of an E.
Well, do it in an accent then.
What?
Do it in an accent then.
Totally Men.
Oh, yeah, to Simmer.
By Stone.
Stone? Anyway, either way, it's rubbish. Right, you ready for mine?
All right, hang on.
No, you don't have to do anything. I do it.
Go on, then.
You ready? Here we go. Suck it to me. Floating in the river with a saturated liver, and I wish I could forgive her, but I do believe she's living it when she told me to forget it, and I bet you won't forget it when you find me in the morning, wet and drown. Suddenly the monkeys and going down, buddy. Now,
that's not bad. Actually.
Yeah, that's not bad. The monkey's going down. We go to our celebrity judge, Kyle. Kyle, who wins? Tiswi Mia or the monkeys with going down? Kyle, it's over to you.
Well, I'm torn because the other guy is sounds northern like me.
Yeah,
however,
he sounds like yes.
I am northern. I'm from Hull, the furthest northern, apart from the other person.
Isn't it just now? All northern people seem to be quite dull.
Oh, what? No, all right. Sorry? I was going to give you the point, Ian,
thank you.
I didn't understand a word he said.
Yep.
What?
Thank you. Right, so it's 1-0. Right, I go first on this one. Blimey, it's like... That's that. You know, I'm making this hard work. Oh, no, my iPod has gone all funny. Hang on a second. Right, let me get... ladies and gentlemen, I mean...
Look at all...
It's Eleanor Rigby, but it's Eleanor. Yeah, okay. But notice it's a different version.
Eleanor Rigby.
It's not the Beatles version.
Rice in the church where a wedding has been.
It's the version from the Give My Regards to Broad Street soundtrack. Boom! And I'm sticking with that. Beat that, Daniel.
All right. It's the Kings of Leon. Anna, I'm sorry.
Why would you favourite the Kings of Leon? Kyle, it's over to you. The Kings of Leon and one of their boring songs about having fire sex, or Paul McCartney covering himself with Eleanor Rigby?
No, I'm torn now, because is it the first one of two wins?
Well, yes.
Is that... Well, but you're right. Now, you know, I'm a massive Beatles fan, and especially I have the album.
It's a good album.
But...
Yes?
But... I can't give it to you because I want the game to go to its natural conclusion. Oh, and it kills me to say it. Well, it's got to be Darren.
You can't you can't just do that because you want the game to carry on.
You can. He's the judge. In this situation, he's the judge. And the judges will rule, obviously.
Okay. Right. So, okay, so you get that. So it's 1-1. So it's the final round. Daniel, over to you. Yes. You've still got your pass.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to press skip.
Well, hang on a minute. All right, so what's coming up?
Not this one.
No, well, tell us what it is, and then before you pass on it.
It's this one. This is the best one, yes.
Well, hang on a minute. You can't... Cry it out loud.
What?
Have you passed?
No, I haven't passed. This is what I'm going with.
Oh, Divine Comedy.
You know what it is?
Divine Comedy, National Express. Good song. Good song.
It's a fantastic song.
Right, OK. I'm going to go.
No, let's just listen to a bit of this while.
I'll be honest, we can't really hear it.
What?
Right, here comes my one. Here we go. You ready? On shuffle and play. Turn it off.
Oh, you hung up.
Yeah. Not just any wipeout, guys. It's the Fat Boys and the Beach Boys. But do you know what? Am I going to play this or pass this? I'm going to pass. My pass. Let's see where we go. Are you ready? Oh, game over, guys. Game over. You ready?
Go on.
Here it comes. Get ready for the catchy intro. Do, 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 bam.
Right,
this is all hey! Piece of land where the local market used to stand. Before that, they pulled up a bowling alley on the site that used to be the local pally. He's having a fit. Sorry? I can't dance in. Sorry, Daniel?
What was... That.
That was the Kinks, mate. Come Dancing. 1986 went to number 4 in the charts.
Well, listen to this.
Kyle, it's between whatever boring song Daniel had or Come Dancing by the Kinks.
Very difficult, Ian. Very difficult. Massive Divine Comedy fan. Seen him a few times. However, you would have won it straight off with the Beach Boys remix.
Oh.
But.
Go on.
No, you've still won it, mate, with the Kinks, because they're amazing. Yeah. They're amazing.
What's he doing now? We're not doing another round, Daniel. It's finished. Daniel?
Yes?
It's finished, mate. Turn your computer off. Go to bed. Close down your Twitter account. It's all over, buddy. Close your Twitter account down. It's finished.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lift.
It's inappropriate behaviour, Barry.
What's this?
Sorry, I assumed you were listening, and that's why you called in.
I was speaking to your operative, so I missed that last bit.
Right. Well, what? Brad Pitt was spotted.
Yeah.
In Block and Quail.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, well done, thank you.
What was he buying? Because we've got some lovely garden furniture there. I expect he could do with a sign at a barbecue, maybe.
I don't know. It doesn't say what he was buying.
Some hooks.
The worker who's...
Lovely screws.
Well, he's got Angelina Jolie. Dad. Hey! What have you called in for, Baz?
Where do you get off slagging off Wimbledon?
Sorry?
Where do you get off slagging off Wimbledon?
Sorry?
Where do you...
You don't need to. What do you mean? What's your beef?
Oh, we don't like tennis.
No.
Don't like sport.
No.
What do you like?
What do you mean? What does that mean?
What made this country
tennis.
Wonderful.
Tennis made this country wonderful.
Still speaking.
You daft old sausage.
Wimbledon is one of the main tenets.
It's tennis.
We went there last year.
Yes.
It's a wonderful day out. My Margaret and I, for many years, have tried to go to Wimbledon. And we went there and we had a bit of champagne.
Oh, yeah.
We had strawberries, I'll give her. She had about 3 punnets of strawberries.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we saw, you can see what's going to happen. with the fizzy champagne, and you know the fruit, it will break down in the colon. There was a pause. Andy Murray, quiet please. And she blew off in centre court.
Is this really what we've sung to?
She apple tarted, and we were just sat behind Cliff Richards. You know, in the hurry, tried to lead an impromptu sing-along, but there was no disguising the guff. And really, I said to her, after all these years of trying to get a ticket,
yeah,
you've let me down. And what was worse, she went, you know, listen to this, too good to miss, you know. And these people are top athletes. They don't need to hear that, you know. But that aside, it's a wonderful competition. So that's Wimbledon. So that's a warning. Anyone is going. Go easy on the champagne and fruit.
Stop it.
Oh, dear. Lovely speaking to you. No.
Oh, dear.
Late Night Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Otto Preminger presents Bunny Lake is missing. What suspense? Laurence Olivier is immense.
I just want to find one simple thing. One small, simple proof that Bunny Lake exists.
Come on, Sam!
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah. The zombies are there.
That's us.
That's me.
That's him.
That's he.
Carol Linley is keen as a knife.
Care delay will give you the time of your life.
Come on, Sam!
Come on, Sam, for the show.
The clock will tell you when to go.
While the show's on, can you get in?
No! Come on, Sam!
Please come on time.
There is kind of a reason for me playing that. I know to you it means nothing. I'm hoping to my next guest it means something. Otherwise, it's just a very odd, uncomfortable minute. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Zombies and from various other musical factions, Mr. Colin Blunstone. Good evening, Colin.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. I'm really excited to talk to you. I've got that right. That's the film Bunny... That's a trailer for the film Bunny Lake is Missing, which you guys did the soundtrack for.
We did... 3 songs, I think, for that film. Yeah, with Laurence Olivier and Carol Linley. Yeah.
And how did that go? Was it fun? Was it a mess? Was it a nightmare? Because you read a lot about some of these films from the 60s, and there's not a lot of focus, and you know everybody's running around being crazy, and that's kind of what I imagine Bunny Lake being like.
Well, I mean, it probably was, but we were sort of filmed in isolation,
right?
Whole experience was just working with Otto Preminger, really. We didn't meet Laurence Olivier or Carol Linley Otto Preminger was certainly an experience. He was very dictatorial and extremely aggressive, and it was a real experience.
Now, listen, Colin, this is such a joy to talk to you. I'm a little bit embarrassed, right? I love 60s music. I'm a big fan of the Monkees and the Beach Boys and obviously the Beatles, and we had John Sebastian from the Loving Spoonful on last week, and we're getting Howard Kalin from the Turtles. The Zombies were kind of off my radar.
Right.
Apart from She's Not There, which is just one of the finest pop songs of all time, and, you know, they were off my radar. And about a month ago, a friend of mine in the States said, you know the album Odyssey and Oracle? I went, no. He said, oh, man, you've got to go and get that now. And I was like, well, okay, I'll check it out. Where has that been my whole life? It's incredible.
Well, that album is a bit of a mystery, really, because it was released, it was the last album from the Zombies. It was released in 1967 and was commercially was a disaster. And then over a period of years, I can only think it's through word of mouth, but it started picking up sales. It now gets incredible reviews and accolades. Rolling Stone nominated it as one of the top 100 albums of all time, and yet that album has never really been a hit anywhere. Certainly, it's never been a hit in the UK.
Yeah.
As I say, it's recorded in 1967, and it sells far more now than it ever did when it first came out. It's a strange story. One track on there, called Time of the Season, was a huge hit in America. Depending on what chart you go by, it was either number one or number three. Cashbox was number one. Billboard was number three. But it was never a hit here. However, it was a hit all around the world. It was probably the Zombies' biggest hit. And recently, Eminem sampled that track for one of the tracks on his latest album, which is very good for us in many ways, for credibility and, of course, financially.
I was going to ask, does that mean that sort of every 6 months or so a nice little check pops through the post?
Absolutely. Drinks are on me.
Isn't that funny a song from an album that is a masterpiece? I compare it. I was saying to someone, it's like the British Forever Changes, you know, the Love album. It's got that kind of vibe about it.
I think it has, and you know, we actually toured with Love about 5 or 6, 7 years ago.
Did you really?
It was a wonderful tour. It was in America, not here.
Yeah.
And I think people did make that connection between the two albums, Forever Changes and Odyssey and Oracle. It was a great tour. It worked really well.
Does it? I'm genuinely embarrassed that it's been off my radar, because I thought I'd discovered all those great lost albums. Are you getting people like that? You know, and younger than me. I'm an old man. I'm 42. But are you getting people that are kind of discovering your music now, 50 years later?
Well, we are. I mean, it's really strange. We work mostly in America, I suppose, really. Well, we work in America more than anywhere else. And year on year, our audience is getting bigger and bigger. And also, what I think amazes people is the cross-section of ages that come to our concerts. I think most people expect when they come to our concerts that it'll just be people who were around in the 60s, but that's not the case at all. We have, you know, third to half of the audience are under 25.
Wow.
It's really extraordinary. And as you say, this album, Odyssey and Oracle, is sort of being discovered by people all the time.
I love the fact that it's spelt wrong as well.
I know. Those are the days.
How did that happen?
In those days, that's a painting that's on the front there.
Yeah.
And the artist showed a rough to the band before we went off on tour. And we said, yeah, that looks fine. When we came back, we realised he'd spelt it wrong. Went to the record company and said, oh, hold it. It's too late. It's at the printer's. It's already been printed.
Oh, I love it.
What seemed like a complete disaster at the time has actually sort of added to the album's status, I think, because it's got this horrendous spelling mistake on it.
Do you feel at the time? Did you feel that you were kind of overlooked? Because you know, She's Not There is one of the greatest pop songs of all time. That was your first single, wasn't it? And it must have been hard to kind of get traction after that. Did you feel, coming from St Albans as you did, I think, the rock and roll mecca of the UK, and with all these other amazing bands kind of happening at the time, did you feel you were being left out a bit?
Well, I think what was difficult was we kind of started at the top, you know. I mean, I was only 18 when I sang She's Not There, and it was our first record, and it was a huge worldwide number one in most countries. And then we seemed to, really slip from there. That was the difficult bit. Obviously, you have to accept any success that you get and be really grateful for it. But if I'd had a choice, I wish that She's Not There had come a little bit later, when we were a little bit more when we understood the music business a bit better, because it just came a bit soon for us, I think. And of course, as soon as you've got one record, the record company is pushing for a follow-up, and we had to get a follow-up together within about 4 or 5 weeks of recording She's Not There, and it wasn't really strong. And then we started to slip then, certainly in this country. Everything was 6 months behind in America, because our first record was released about 6 months after it was released here. So we fared a little bit better in America, just because we were a little bit more experienced. But the strange thing is that last album, Odyssey and Oracle, in the end it was released after the band had split. We'd all finished. We'd gone off and started other projects, which is rather unfortunate. And from that album, our biggest hit, Time of the Season, was released, and that again went to number one in America. But of course, there was no band. So in a way, it was a bit of a sad story. It would have been great if we'd been around to promote and enjoy the success of the album. But
why did you split, Colin? Did you all just kind of go, this ain't happening, and this is just too much hard work, let's call it a day? Was it that kind of thing?
I don't think it was too much hard work. It was, but what you said to start with, I think we perceived ourselves as being really rather unsuccessful, and there didn't seem to be a lot of interest in the band, and it just seemed the natural thing to move on and get involved in new projects. And with the benefit of hindsight, I now realise that the Zombies always had a hit record in one country or another while they were together in the 60s. Unfortunately, there was no internet then. It was very hard to find out what was happening in your career. And we didn't realize at the time that we always had a hit record somewhere. We weren't particularly successful in this country, but we had success around the world.
Colin, listen, I've been listening to your latest album. I've got to pay the rent. Can I come back to you in a couple of minutes? We'll talk about the last album and tours and things. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, mate. I appreciate it. Colin Blunstone from The Zombies. We'll have more of Colin after this. That's a little bit abrupt. That's what the Zombies sound like now. The voice, Colin, is still in good nick, huh?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I'd like to think so anyway, you know. I'm certainly enjoying singing as much now as I ever have done. And I'm really surprised, very pleasantly surprised, to find myself still treading the boards in the autumn of my career, and, you know, as I am. The Zombies are more busy now than they've ever been.
Well, I was going to say, you're because I know that the Zombies do loads of shows. You go off as well with your own other band and do shows. I've been looking at your itinerary. You're incredibly busy. You're all over the place.
I know. I have my own solo band, and we're actually starting to tour in a couple of weeks' time. We'll do 2 or 3 weeks with a solo band, and then I'm back with the Zombies, and we're going to do a month in the States. We seem to go to America regularly, three times a year. We've already been once, and we're going again in May. And then it's a lot of festivals over the summer, so it really keeps us busy.
Do you all get on? Are you all, like, really good friends? Or do you kind of go and do the gig and then you walk off stage different directions, see you tomorrow night?
No, I think we're pretty good mates. We rub along pretty well. I think you have to be, you know, because we're sort of cooped up together for hours and hours every day. So you have to get along pretty well. And we do. We absolutely
do. Is it true that when the Zombies split after Odyssey and Oracle, before you went off and did all your solo projects and your other bands, that you became an insurance salesman?
Well, I worked in an insurance office. I really didn't know anything about insurance, so I couldn't really sell it. I mean, I think, to be absolutely honest, I was a clerk, you know.
Right.
And I think it did me a lot of good because I was devastated when the Zombies finished, and I worked in this very, very busy insurance office. As I said, I didn't know much about insurance. It was all a bit of a mystery to me. But it kept me busy.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't dwell on the sadness of my first band ending, you know. So I think it did me a lot of good.
And did you think that was it? You would go into the office every morning and think, well, that pop career was fun. Right, let's get down to the real work now.
Well, I think so, yeah.
Wow.
I thought that was it, yeah.
Isn't that amazing? And
yeah.
50 years later, you're still doing it.
I know. It just goes to show you never know what's going to happen. Because, I mean, my life is a huge example of that. These surprises keep coming along. And the same way of playing live. Now, who would have thought when you make your first record at 18 that you'll still be going out on the road when you're 70 years old? I mean, it was unheard of.
Are you 70?
I'm 70.
That's not the voice on the album of a 70-year-old man, surely.
Because
it's incredible.
I'm afraid, yes. Yeah, it certainly is.
Isn't it funny as well? You look at all those bands from the 60s, and you were all kids. My real the symboliser of how little I've achieved in my life is George Harrison was 26 when the Beatles split up. You're all just boys, weren't you?
Well, that's absolutely true. I didn't even realise that he was only 26. But, we were kids, you know. As I said, I was 18 when I recorded She's Not There, and the band was only together for 3 years.
Wow.
Professionally, from 64 to 67.
Wow.
But at the time, when you're young, that seemed like a lifetime.
Yeah.
Looking back, of course, it's the blink of an eye.
That song we just played there is from Still Got That Hunger. That was last year, I think, that came out. Have you still got songs kind of bubbling away? I mean, if you had to go and do an album now, have you got kind of notepads full of songs and sketches and things?
Oh yeah, I mean Rod and I we write all the time, and I mean that is our most recent album. It actually only came out this year.
Oh, was it this year? Okay,
yeah.
Right.
And that particular song is one that I wrote, so I was quite chuffed to hear you play that. Actually,
oh, it's brilliant. It's kind of timeless. You know, there's a horrible thing sometimes when bands from the 60s or 70s get back together and they try and make a current sound, and it, you know, the album's dated before it's even hit the shelves, and that is it's kind of timeless.
Well, you know, we've always tried to record the kind of music that we love.
Yeah.
And then we what we're thinking is, well, if we love it, hopefully other people will love it as well. And we've never looked at what's in the charts right now or how can we try and be commercial. We've never, ever done that in the 60s or now. We just try to write what appeals to us, and hopefully it does give it a timeless feel because, you know, it is genuine music written and recorded with a lot of love and a lot of care.
I'm looking at colinblunstone.co.uk and I'm trying to find your tour dates. There's loads of tour dates. I see that you're playing The Borderline on Sunday the 24th of April.
Well, we are definitely playing The Borderline in London, yes. Looking forward to that. It's one of the first gigs I ever did when I started playing live again back in the 90s. So it'll be fun to go back there.
I've got the dates now. You've got Derby, you've got Hessel. I've got no idea where's Hessel?
Hessel's near Hull.
Is it? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You've got the Stables in Milton Keynes, which is a great venue. Wolverhampton,
yeah.
Southampton, Fletching. The Borderline, they say, on the 24th of April, which is the gig I'm going to try and come down if I can persuade my wife that I deserve an evening out, as I've been a good boy. Do you still enjoy it? You must still enjoy doing the gigs and meeting the fans and doing all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really great fun. I think that if you enjoy performing, then to get out and to play the songs you love with your mates, I mean, and see the world at the same time. I mean, what more could you ask for? It's brilliant.
Listen, Colin, it's been so nice to talk to you. I'm going to do my best to get to that gig, and if I do, I'm going to try and come and say hello and shake your hand and thank you. And I'm genuinely embarrassed that this amazing... Honestly, guys, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, I don't... Odyssey and Oracle, go and get it, because it is just... It's a masterpiece. It's a masterpiece, and it's criminal that it's been overlooked. But I suppose, in some ways, it's kind of the gift that keeps on giving, because the fact that we're talking about an album that was essentially a flop 50 years later.
I know. It's a mystery, that album. It sells thousands and thousands every year, and yet it's never really been a hit. I don't understand it, but I've given up trying to understand it now.
The song for me on there is This Will Be Our Year. That's the one that is just has got classic written all over it. I'm going to end with that. Colin, it's so nice to talk to you, mate. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Lovely talking to you, Ian. All the very best.
Cheers. Speak to you soon. Thanks very much.
Go of my hand now, the darkness has gone. This will be our year, took a long time to come. And I won't forget the way you helped me up when I was down. And I won't forget the way you said, darling, I love you. You gave me faith to go on. Now we're there and we've only just begun. This will be our year, took a long time to come.
That was the podcast. Still not feeling the vibe 25 minutes later.
Right. But you might be by now, so that'll be good.
Bye.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.